Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 70. My name is John. Everything gets hard when the night gets dark and the whole world's gone to sleep. They want to dress me up like the rest of them, but I'm a wolf and they're just sheep. Okay, first things first. I'd like to give a tip of the cap to Amy Allen and Nick Danger for unknowingly helping me with this podcast. Amy Allen is the lead singer of The Interrupters. Nick Danger is usually in charge of their merchandise booth. If you don't know who The Interrupters are, shame on you. Pause this podcast for a couple of minutes and go to iTunes or whatever your favorite platform is and buy their music. All of it. Do it now. If you're not a fan of punk or ska music, then go buy their music anyway and learn to love it. If you listen to the lyrics like the snippet I used to open this podcast, you know why this libertarian appreciates their work. I've had two opportunities to chat with Amy, and each time the conversation inspired me to do a podcast. In case you're wondering, the other one was podcast number 43. This time, Nick joined in the talk and gave me some inspiration as well, so thank you both. I'm going to be quoting a lot of Wikipedia this time around because, well, it's December, so the month has been full of events and gatherings in my downtime, and work has been abnormally hectic, so I haven't had a lot of time to put things into my own words. Also, to be perfectly honest, there's not much sense to me rewriting a definition or explanation that someone has already done well. So I'm going to start with a brief explanation from Wikipedia of the Fabian Strategy. The Fabian Strategy is a military strategy where pitched battles and frontal assaults are avoided in favor of wearing down an opponent through a war of attrition and indirection. While avoiding decisive battles, the side employing this strategy harasses its enemy through skirmishes to cause attrition, disrupt supply, and affect morale. Employment of this strategy implies that the side adopting this strategy believes time is on its side, but it may also be adopted when no feasible alternative strategy can be devised. Interesting, isn't it? The strategy was developed by a Roman dictator, Quintus Fabius Maximus Viracocus. Try saying that three times fast. To weaken and defeat Hannibal's invasion. Fabius used patient delaying tactics to wear down Hannibal's supply lines, which were limited due to Hannibal's distance from Carthage. Fabius attacked Hannibal's opportunities to replenish his supplies with raiding and foraging parties on Roman soil. Hannibal also utilized Gaul and Spanish mercenaries, but they needed instant gratification, if you will, in order to remain loyal to Hannibal. Fabius's delaying tactics made it more difficult for those mercenaries to obtain the spoils of war, so they abandoned Hannibal in favor of more lucrative opportunities elsewhere. This was an effective strategy, and some of the Roman elite understood the need for it, as opposed to a frontal assault that would have ended poorly for the Romans and likely changed the course of civilization. But some people didn't like the strategy. Not because it wasn't effective. This was a nation that prided itself on face-to-face confrontation with other nations. We'll put our army out there, you put your army out there, and we'll fight to see who wins. This roundabout, patient, slow, sneak attack battle plan was considered cowardly. As a military strategy, I think it is a brilliant way to defeat an overpowering opponent. But I can understand why it is considered cowardly. I consider it cowardly not when Fabius used it on Hannibal, but that it has been used and continues to be used on the citizens of the United States. See, don't think of it as a strategy to defeat an invading army. Rather, think of it as a way to get a society to agree to a political philosophy that they would otherwise outright reject. Try to get someone to do something outlandish, or at least outlandish to them, and you probably won't get anywhere. But what if you do it incrementally? Move people in patient nudges. Bitch and moan until you get a little concession. Get them used to it. Then bitch and moan until you get another concession that takes you a step closer to your ultimate goal. Take advantage of every situation, good or bad, to move people closer to your goal. Let me go over Fabius's plan against Hannibal once again. Patient delay tactics to wear down resistance, attack supply lines, and make it difficult for the mercenaries. Let's say you have a society that prides itself on individual liberty and personal responsibility. But you want that society to embrace the ideals of subservience to a centralized authority, with minimal liberties only allowed by the state, and collective responsibility that requires citizens to fund each other with little regard to individual effort. I would hope that if such a collectivist scheme were ever presented to such individually minded people, that the people would respond with the words fuck and off, preferably in that order. So, if you really want to impose your collectivist ideals, you don't go in for a full-on assault, because that will only guarantee your defeat. Instead, you use the ideals of the Fabian strategy. Patient delaying tactics to wear down your opponent. You understand that you don't have to use some grand attack. Rather, use small efforts to erode your opponent's will. If you play it right, they'll just give up and let you do what you want. I mean, how many times was socialized healthcare proposed in the United States until they finally wore away enough resistance to push it through? Attacking supply lines. Make it more and more difficult for people to do things. Make it more difficult for them to start a business. And you stifle innovation and up-and-coming entrepreneurs who could do things better than the older companies. Then hop in bed with those older companies and make them too big to fail. Make it more difficult through regulations for people to understand things like healthcare, or procure things like utilities, or build things like roads. So they eventually ask government to take control and eventually rely on and expect the government to be the sole provider. Make it difficult for the mercenaries, or in this case, let's call it investment. Put up so many roadblocks that the free market is nothing more than a mass of corporatist regulation. But keep referring to it as the free market as if it still existed. That way, when your massive regulation destroys people's ability to make their lives better, they will blame it on something that doesn't even exist instead of your schemes. The tactics of the Fabian strategy, as used by the Fabian society. Yeah, that's their plan. They take their name from the Fabian strategy. That's how you get people who value personal freedom and personal responsibility to give up the freedom and let bureaucracy take control. Back to Wikipedia. The Fabian Society is a British socialist organization whose purpose is to advance the principles of socialism via gradualist and reformist effort in democracies rather than by revolutionary overthrow. As founders of the Labour Party in 1900, the Fabian Society has influenced British policy to the present day, from the post-war creation of the modern welfare state to the election of Tony Blair. Later members of the Fabian Society included Nehru and other leaders of new nations created out of Britain's former colonies, which used Fabian principles to create socialist democracies in India, Pakistan, Nigeria, and elsewhere as Britain decolonized after the Second World War. The Fabian Society founded the London School of Economics and Political Science in 1895 for the betterment of society, now one of the leading institutions in the world, an incubator of influential politicians, economists, journalists, prime ministers, and liberal billionaires. Wow. Political leaders. People who influence the economy. People who influence the media. And people the leftists would call one percenters. Others may just call them all elitists who think they know better how to run your life than you do. Reading on, see if you can spot any current political buzzwords. The first Fabian Society pamphlets advocating tenets of social justice coincided with the zeitgeist of liberal reforms during the early 1900s. The Fabian proposals, however, were considerably more progressive than those that were enacted in the liberal reform legislation. The Fabians lobbied for the introduction of a minimum wage in 1906, for the creation of a universal health care system in 1911, and for the abolition of hereditary peerages in 1917. Fabian socialists were in favor of reforming Britain's imperialist foreign policy as a conduit for internationalist reform, and were in favor of a capitalist welfare state modeled on the Bismarckian German model. They criticize Gladstonian liberalism both for its individualism at home and its internationalism abroad. They favored a national minimum wage in order to stop British industries compensating for their inefficiency by lowering wages instead of investing in capital equipment, slum clearances and a health service in order for the breeding of even a moderately imperial race, which would be more productive and better military than the stunted, anemic, demoralized denizens of our great cities. And a national education system because it is in the classrooms that the future battles of the empire for commercial prosperity are already being lost. The Fabians also favored the nationalization of land rent, believing that rents collected by landowners were unearned, an idea which drew heavily from the work of American economist Henry George. Oh, and just to drive home the point that they wanted to breed an imperial race, I found this note near the bottom of the Wikipedia article very interesting. In the early 1900s, Fabian Society members advocated the ideal of a scientifically planned society and supported eugenics by way of sterilization. See the cowardly aspect come out with their tactics? They won't outright tell you they want to take away your liberties. They won't tell you that you have to fund the consequences of somebody else's choices. They will sell you half-truths in order to nudge you slightly in the direction they want you to go, but not reveal their true nature until it's too late. Certainly nothing as nefarious as eugenics, you say. Yes, I am saying that. There's a constant whisper in our ears, variations on the same idea. Government has to do for people what they can't do for themselves. That's how they present themselves. Oh, it's those poor people who just can't make it. Forget the fact that it was their stupid government regulation that set people up to fail to begin with. And it doesn't help that in the United States, the two major political parties send mixed signals to their constituents on how much or how little government is supposed to integrate into people's everyday lives. The big government duopoly actually plays perfectly into the collectivist schemes. Where the Democrats want individual liberty, the Republicans want collectivist control. Where the Republicans want individual liberty, the Democrats want collectivist control. So they play off each other. The followers of one party demonizing the followers of the other. Each time one gets enough power, they socialize some little portion of people's lives. Then the other side takes power and socializes another little portion. Maybe collectivist schemers aren't using the parties to play off each other. Maybe it's all part of each party's plan. Our nation has become more and more socialist with every year. Even when we do get some supposed freedom back, it comes with socialist strings attached. Sure, we may get the freedom to marry a person of the same gender, but it is still government that controls the definition and can change it at their whim. Sure, we may get the freedom to smoke marijuana, but only under an amount controlled by the government, with all the taxes and regulations to go along with it. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Government takes your natural rights away and then gives it back to you only if you accept their regulatory and taxation terms. That's not regaining freedom. That's ransom. That's extortion. There are many out there who champion freedom, individual liberty, personal responsibility. They are convinced that society has become flocks of sheep that can't think for themselves. On some of my more cynical days, I have to say it's easy to believe that's true. But sometimes I'm optimistic. Sometimes I believe people can and will wake up to the collectivism engulfing our world. Sometimes I believe that people are aware, even if it's on some kind of subconscious level. We know. We are aware that something is wrong. Even the ones who seem oblivious at some level understand it's reflected in our popular entertainment. You don't believe me? Let me give you some examples. These are just some of the more popular ones that came to mind in recent years, so spoilers on. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on most of these examples. So you know that people are flocking to see these movies, and something is resonating with them. These stories are connecting with people. Star Trek Into Darkness. I've talked about this before because of the Alice Eve controversy. Alice Eve. But this time, I'm going to focus more on the plot of the movie. The crew of the Enterprise believes they are chasing a terrorist. But they come to find out there are people in the government who set it all up in order to start a war. They are being manipulated. They're being made to be angry and afraid. They want revenge, but they don't see that by enacting their revenge, they will only create a much worse problem later on. Hunger Games. Okay, I haven't seen this one, and I don't intend to, but from what I've gathered, it's rebelling against an oppressive government and elite ruling class. Oppression so bad, an actual war is necessary to regain freedom. The Matrix. I really don't think this one needs much of an explanation, but boy does it ever fit. People are enslaved by machines and fed a false reality that life is normal and fine. But in reality, they are being used. The people who have discovered the truth understand just how horrible reality has become. But they know that you can't simply unplug humanity from the false reality, because the vast majority of them prefer the lie. Zombies. I've gone over this a couple of months ago, but the concept is still valid, and it works for any movie or TV show featuring zombies. My personal favorite is still Shaun of the Dead. They are the mindless, seeking to devour you. They will either kill you or make you one of them. They could be the liberal zombie or the conservative zombie or some other breed, but they all have the same agenda, making you one of their own or destroying your life if you don't fall in line. The World's End. This is from the same guys who made Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. The three of these movies together are known as the Cornetto Trilogy. While I think it's the weakest of the three, I still enjoy it. World's End is about a group of friends who go back home to find their town has been overrun by aliens who have replaced nearly all of the citizens with replicants. The chief alien reveals himself as the one who introduced all the wonderful technology that has popped up over the last couple of decades, and that the aliens simply want to give that as a gift to prepare the Earth to join the galactic community. Unfortunately, anyone who isn't entirely on board with the alien plan is replaced with a replicant. Just like collectivists in the real world who want you to give up your identity for their greater good. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. This is a conspiracy story disguised as a superhero movie. It's all about government creating surveillance technology, predictive threat technology, and next-generation weapons with the intention of keeping citizens safe. Until the people who have been manipulating the government behind the scenes use them to target people who are considered dangerous. And dangerous is defined as anyone who will not fall into lockstep with their fascist plans. Batman vs. Superman. This movie won't be out for a few more months, but you can be sure I will be at the very first showing wherever that is. It is loosely based on the Dark Knight Returns comic book published 30 years ago. In the book, and I suspect in the movie as well, Batman doesn't trust Superman because he has so much power that he can just as easily destroy everyone as he can protect them. Like the government. Superman doesn't trust Batman because of the violence and fear tactics he uses. Like the government. both the traditional social justice crusader, Superman, and the traditional tough-on-criminals crusader, Batman, think their way is right, and believe to be opposites of each other. But in reality, they are two sides of the same coin, like our Republican-Democrat big government duopoly. We know. Subconsciously, we understand something is very, very wrong with our world and our nation. If the Constitution is to be our guide, we are so far off course with where this nation is supposed to be that the minor tweaks and reassurances that all will be well from smiling politicians aren't going to solve the problem. The question is not whether this course will drive us into ruin, because there is no doubt it will. The question is, do we go all in on the socialism like a Bernie Sanders or an elitist Fabian Society member wants us to do, and become like every other nation on the planet that relies on centralized government to placate and control its citizens? Or do we work to return individual liberty and personal responsibility so citizens can do things for themselves? Oh, I know. If we do that, then some people will be too lazy to do things for themselves, and they might end up poor, or sad, or hurt. Your misguided compassion just can't stand the thought of someone who isn't achieving everyone you think they should. And of course, you're too deep in the cult of busybodies who feel they have to play mommy and daddy for those kinds of people. But you don't have it in you to give full effort or financing to help those you think are in need. So you run to government, crying how unfair it is that some people don't have all the creature comforts as everyone else. So you rally support to use the force of government to take from others so your cause celebre can be funded. A task government is happy to do since it expands their power. Welcome to the Fabian Society. The other side of that coin is some people are going to do things that you don't like. They're going to love people of the same sex or multiple people of multiple genders. They're going to ingest and inhale things that could make them overweight or hallucinate or cause them physical damage. They're going to amass wealth that you consider to be obscene. It's going to offend your delicate sensibilities. You may have to live around people who aren't just like you, and who don't share your exact same moral outlook. So you rally support to use the force of government to prevent people from doing anything outside your moral purview. Welcome to the Fabian Society. That's what they've done to us. We are Wile E. Coyote. We are seconds away from walking off the cliff, standing in midair, and the collectivists are just waiting to see the horrified expression on our face as we look down to see the canyon floor just before we begin to fall. We can't let them nudge us anymore. We can't let them prey on our fears and ignorance. We can't let them continue to convince us that collectivism is the natural order. Collectivism is atrophy. Collectivism is what you resort to when you are lazy. Collectivism is what you resort to when you have been convinced you are incompetent and weak. If you really thought about it, you'd be surprised how little you really need government. And you'd be surprised how little you need the cowardly acts of socialists, fascists, or Fabians to control your life. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.